the Republic.
If I had a boat, I'd go out on the ocean. And if I had a pony, I'd ride him on my boat. And we could all together go out on the ocean, set me up on my pony, on my boat. Now if I were Roy Rogers, I'd sure enough be single. I couldn't bring myself to marry an old dame. Just be me and Trevor. We'll go riding through them movies, and we buy a boat, and on the sea we sail. And if I had a boat, I'd go out on the ocean. And if I had a pony, I'd ride him on my boat. And we could all together go out on the ocean, set me up on my pony, on my boat. Now the mystery masked man was smart. He got himself a Tonto, 'cause Tonto did the dirty work for free. But Tonto, he was smarter, and one day said, King Wasabi, kiss my ass, I bought a boat, I'm going out to sea. And if I had a boat, I'd go out on the ocean. And if I had a pony, I'd ride home my boat. And we could all together go out on the ocean, set me up on my pony, on my boat.
And good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Tuesday, April 17th, 2018 edition of The American Awakening. I am your host, Michael Herzog, and I'll be with you for the next 2 hours. Today is the extended deadline for tax day. Don't forget to drop those envelopes in the mail by midnight tonight, folks, because the post office is always open late on that day, propaganda day, the day that you make your contributions so that they can take your money, pay off the interest to the money they borrow to build some more missiles so Raytheon's stock can go up. One of these days, we're going to get something done about that, folks. Now, speaking of Raytheon, and speaking of missiles flying, and speaking of Syria, I'm going to spend a little time today talking about the most moral army in the world, according to Benjamin Netanyahu and Beetlebogen. We'll dig into that in a little bit, but folks, before I get into that, I want to say that I'm looking at bringing up a sponsor on my program to help assist me a little bit financially. I'm not one to beg people for money, but I do believe in offering somebody a quality product. And so I'm going to ask all of you, if you would, to bear with me here for just a couple minutes. Let me give you an overview of what I'm going to bring up and sponsor. It's called Clowers Creations. And that's at clowerscreations.com, C-L-O-W-E-R-S, and then just creations, clowerscreations.com. What they offer is a unique type of soy candle and wax melts. And the reason they're unique is because they don't have any harmful chemicals in them. They have no toxins. They have no carcinogens or any other pollutants. They are completely allergy-friendly. There is no soot when it burns, and they burn 50% longer than traditional candles. So if you ladies out there like to take a bath with candles or just scent your home with the fresh scent of candles, they have a wide array of scents. They have bath and body products. They're made with organic and natural ingredients. They contain pure essential oils. There's no added fillers to them. They're made to order to ensure quality and freshness. They're infused with the authentic aromas of Arizona's finest destinations. They also offer, and this is kind of unique, folks, and I've seen their works, and it's pretty interesting. They offer Southwestern-themed decorative boxes specific to your preferred Arizona location, but they'll custom make anything that you want on a wood burn on a box that is wood burned into it. So if you have a specific picture that you like to have wood burned into it, they'll do it right to your specifications. And then they also have a healing blog called The Psyche Awakening, where they offer natural remedies for physical and mental ailments, like my mental ailment. So with that, folks, take a visit to ClowersCreations.com. Tell me what you think. But what I'm going to do here today is, like yesterday, I had offered up free of charge a copy of the two DVDs I have left of Jim and Joanne Moriarty. And by the way, I talked to Jim and Joanne Moriarty yesterday, and this message is for Mike in Kentucky. Okay, I do have permission for you to reburn a copy and edit out the tragic parts of that video if you want to have it and air it on your television broadcast. Okay, so get in touch with me, Mike, today. Call into the show or give Dan, my navigator there, your contact address, and I will send you a DVD, and you have permission to burn it. So thank you for that, Mike, and Jim and Joanne Moriarty, thank you as well. Now, I also want to remind you that, again, this weekend, both Saturday night and Sunday night, I will be on Erskine Overnight interviewing Jim and Joanne Moriarty again. And I've also been in touch with Scott Bennett, author of The Shell Game, high-level intelligence that was set up. He was in the Bush administration, was set up, and went to prison for a couple of years. So I'm in contact with him, and I will hopefully be bringing him up on the air here in the next week or so. So with that, again, folks, at your leisure, please visit ClowersCreations.com. Tell me what you think of their products. But for the first 10 ladies that would wish to sample one of these soy candles in a minimal setting, I would like for you to call in to the board op, give your address, mailing information. I'll have him give it to me, and I will send you out a free sample. First 10 ladies that call in, or gentlemen, if you enjoy burning candles or incense in your home, just call into the network, give your contact information, and within about a week, I will have a free sample out to you. So with that, let's get into the show. Now I'll give a shout out to Carol in Idaho for this one. This is a statement by Vladimir Putin on Syria. And he says, on April 14th, the United States, supported by its allies, launched an airstrike against military and civilian targets in the Syrian Arab Republic. An act of aggression against a sovereign state that is on the front line in the fight against terrorism was committed without a mandate from the UN Security Council and in violation of the UN Charter and the norms and principles of international law. Now, just as 1 year ago, when the Sharat Air Base in Syria came under attack, the United States used as a pretext a staged criminal attack against civilians, this time in Duma, a Damascus suburb. Having visited the site of the would-be chemical attack, Russian military experts did not find any traces of chlorine or other toxic agents. Not a single local resident was able to confirm that a chemical attack had actually taken place. And the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons dispatched its experts to Syria in order to investigate all the circumstances. However, in a sign of cynical disdain, a group of Western countries decided to take military action without waiting for the results of the investigation. Now, Russia condemns in the strongest possible terms the attack against Syria, where Russian military personnel are assisting the legitimate government in its counterterrorism efforts. And through its actions, the United States makes the already catastrophic humanitarian situation in Syria even worse and brings suffering to civilians. In fact, the U.S. panders to the terrorists who have been tormenting the Syrian people for 7 years, leading to a wave of refugees fleeing this country and the region. The current escalation around Syria is destructive for the entire system of international relations. History will set things right, and Washington already bears the heavy responsibility for the bloody outrage in Yugoslavia, Iraq, and Libya. Russia will convene an emergency meeting of the UN Security Council to discuss the aggressive actions by the United States and its allies. Now, what part of the United States news and press lies do you not understand? That's by Vladimir Putin, folks. And by the way, this is far from over. Now, this out of this Information Clearinghouse by, thank you, Pete, in California. About a month ago, Nikki Haley announces to the UN Security Council that the USA is ready to violate the rules of this very self-same UNSC should a chemical attack happen in Syria. And then the Russians announced that they have evidence that a chemical false flag attack is being prepared in Syria. Then a chemical attack supposedly takes place in a location surrounded and basically controlled by government forces. Now, the Organization for the Prevention of Chemical Weapons sends investigators, in spite of the Western powers loudly proclaiming that no investigation was needed. The Anglo-Zionists then bomb Syria. Next, the UN Security Council refuses to condemn the violation of its own rules and decisions. And finally, the United States Americans speak of a perfect strike. Now, tell me, do you get a sense that this is over? If you tell me that 32 out of 103 is hardly perfect, I will reply that you are missing the point. In fact, if anything, 32 out of 103 missiles is further incentive to bomb again. Folks, are you as tired as I am of the lies and the nonstop propaganda? Now, let's look at this differently for a second and ask this. What has the Anglo-Zionist attack actually demonstrated? The Western general public is so terminally zombified that false flag attacks can now be announced 4 weeks in advance. And the Europeans now live by the motto, "My honor is called solidarity," a variation of the old SS motto, "My honor is loyalty." Led by the United States of America, Western countries have no objection to wars started in violation of their own national laws. And the UN Security Council has no objections to wars started in violation of the UN Charter and international law. And the PRC leaders, in their infinite wisdom, act as if they have nothing personal at stake and act like bystanders. And the Israelis, via the UN neocons, are now in total control of the empire and use it to, quote, clean house, unquote, next door. Oh, I hear the objections. They go something like this. But the attack was a dismal failure. Well, so what? The empire did not pay any price for executing it. But the U.S. Americans did blink. They attacked from Jordanian airspace and from the Red Sea. They avoided the Russians completely. They are afraid of them. So what? They still bombed a Russian ally with total impunity. But surely you are not suggesting that the Russians should have started a war against the USA over a strike which did not even kill a single person. No, of course not. But by not taking any action, the Russians also failed to deter any future attacks. But what could the Russians have done? Well, now that is the right question. Let's look at this a little closer. Roughly speaking, the Russians have a choice of three types of retaliatory measures: politically, economically, and militarily. However, each one of them has a specific set of prerequisites which are currently problematic, to say the least. Politically, economically, military prerequisites assume a minimal amount of decency, integrity, and respect for the rule of law by the rest of the planet. And it assumes that other countries, especially China, would be willing and able to support such measures. And it assumes that Russia has the military capability to defeat the Anglo-Zionist coalition. Current reality, Russia can moan, they can complain, they can bitch, protest, appeal to higher values, logic, or facts, and nobody cares. The Chinese and the rest of them are not willing to do anything at this time to support Russia. Russia can militarily defeat the Anglo-Zionists, but only by risking the future of our planet. This really can be summarized in a simple sentence. The Anglo-Zionist hegemony is a threat for the entire planet, but nobody besides Russia and Iran is willing to take it on. Isn't that an irony? The so-called Christian West has become a willing host for its Zionist parasite, and the only ones with the courage and the moral integrity to take it on are Orthodox Christians and Muslims. But what is even more important is this. While it is true that the U.S. neocons did not succeed in delivering the kind of massive attack that they would have wanted to, and while it is true that the U.S. attack was just about as lame as could be, you need to Okay, I'll have to get that in a minute. What's that? Five gone. Okay. Wow, I've already gotten five free samples out. Okay, five more folks. The next five people that call in with their address information, I will send them out a free sample now. I'm doing this prior to even having the samples made, so it's going to be a week to 10 days, and I will call the sponsor when I get off the air today, and I will get this ball rolling, okay? So thank you very much for that. Five more people calling in, five more samples going out. But give it a week to 10 days, folks. But they are free. That's good. Okay, so anyway, let's see, getting back to this. So while it is true that the U.S. neocons did not succeed in delivering the kind of massive attack that they would have wanted to, and while it is true that the U.S. attack was just about as lame as can be, you need to completely forget about these facts. Facts simply don't matter. And neither, by the way, does logic when it comes to these people. All that matters are perceptions. And the perception is that we, the Anglo-Zionist rulers and their serfs, kicked Assad's hiney, and that we will do it again, if we feel like it. That's all that matters in the empire of illusions, which the Anglo-Zionist hegemony has become. And as soon as you understand that, you will also have to agree that Trump was right. It was a perfect strike. Again, not in reality, but in the world of illusions created around it. So we have come full circle, folks. The Anglo-Zionist hegemony demands that the entire planet bow down and worship it. Except for Russia and Iran, everybody meekly goes down on their knees or, at most, meekly looks away. In their own delusional reality, the Americans feel empowered to smack down Russia or Iran at any time. There is nothing Iran can do to stop them. And while Russia can, she can only do that at the risk of the future of the entire planet. Now you tell me, do you really think that this is over? Now, I'll get to the subject of the day. Israel has the most moral army in the world, quote Benjamin Netanyahu. Netanyahu and Biedelboken. The most moral army in the world. And do you know how he can get away with this statement, folks? This sick, smelly, stinky statement? You know how? The way he can do it is because they own the American media. And the media is not going to report anything but what Israel and those Zionist asshats want them to report. And it's all going to be painted in a really pretty light. Thank God for RBN. Yes, Israel has the most moral army in the world. Really, Biedelboken? Seriously? Tell me, BB. Have you seen the video clip posted online on RBN, by the way, because thank John, he posted it. I was on John's show yesterday, some of you may know, okay, and he posted this video that I sent him. The post where one of your armed moral snipers, along with a few of his moral army buddies, hiding behind a wall with his scope pointed through a couple of holes in the wall, like the cowards that they are, they target an innocent Palestinian boy. Standing still, but out in the open, in a field, while your moral army tracks him like the cowards that they are through a wall with the rifle scope while hiding behind that wall, out of sight from the boy, and then they proceed to squeeze off around, hitting the boy in the knee and knocking him to the ground while your moral army chaps high-five and laugh. Have you seen that one, BB? Or how about this one? Israel targets reporters and medics in Gaza protests. Israeli forces injured around 1,000 protesters. Well, what are they protesting, by the way, folks? They're simply protesting getting their land back that Israel has stolen from them, bulldozed down and wiped out their homes, and forced them to become refugees on their own land. So they injured around 1,000 protesters, 15 of them critically on Friday, and it used lethal force to crack down on demonstration in eastern Gaza for the third week in a row. One 28-year-old Islam Mahmoud Rushdi Hirzala was reported by the Gaza Health Ministry to have died after being shot in the back east of Gaza City. We'll be back in three. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. Just getting started here, folks. Stick around. More to come.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, smoothie, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop, it's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
All right, folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host. Okay, the 10 samples are gone. No more calls in about the samples. And I don't know where somebody got the idea it was soap. It's not soap. It's soy candles, folks, along with a number of other products. But I don't – well, is it soap? I'd have to go in there and look. Maybe she does sell soap, too. I don't know. Anyway, enough of that. Getting back to this. Yes, the most moral army in the world. And why does he get away with that? Because our mainstream media will not let anything seep through other than Israel and God's chosen people and the most moral army in the world. But that most moral army that hides behind rocks and trees and walls and everywhere wearing their Pampers diapers, which they do, by the way. One Palestinian, a 28-year-old, reported by the Gaza Health Ministry, has died after being shot in the back east of Gaza City. Herzallah was unarmed and was posing no threat to soldiers at the time he was shot. Now, this is according to the Gaza-based rights group Al-Mazan. And a photo of Hirzala circulated on social media following the announcement of his death. More than 200 of those injured last Friday were wounded by live ammunition by these moral soldiers. The ones that are picking off and sniping at innocent men, women, and children that aren't bearing arms. And as I mentioned on John's show yesterday, I just wonder what would happen if they came upon people like Ken O'Keefe armed, or me armed, or John armed, or many, many other patriots out there like you that are armed. I wonder if they'd be using their diapers and soiling themselves. Doesn't it just make you want to find out, folks? More than 200 of those injured on Friday were wounded by live ammunition. 100 children were among those injured on Friday. Can you imagine the decadence? Can you imagine that a trained IDF soldier sniping behind a wall and picking on and shooting to wound, not necessarily kill, unarmed, innocent children? And Biedelboken calls that a moral army. Israeli forces have killed 36 Palestinians in Gaza since the 30th of March, which is only just over 2 weeks ago, when the Great March of Return protests began. And what's this Great March protest all about? It's about nothing more than peacefully protesting and wanting the land back that these moral soldiers stole from them anyway by bulldozing their houses. Remember Rachel Corrie? Let us never forget. 27 of those killed, including 3 children and a journalist, were fatally wounded during protests, and more than 3,000 folks were injured during the first two Fridays of the Great March of Return, which is set to culminate on the 15th of May when Palestinians commemorate the ethnic cleansing of the lands on which the State of Israel was declared illegally, by the way, in 1948. 65% of Gaza's population are refugees who were displaced and forced out of their homes following the Nakba in 1948. Some 450 children, 21 medics, along with the Palestinian Red Crescent Society, and 15 journalists are among those who have been injured since the 30th of March. Amnesty International stated on midday of last Friday as the third week of the protests is set to begin. And nearly 350 of those injured may be temporarily or permanently disabled, according to the World Health Organization, because they're shooting to wound, folks. Aren't these nice guys? They're the most moral army on the planet. Yes, at least 4 people have had their legs amputated because Israel, once they wound them, won't even allow them to go to the hospital. They want their legs amputated because they want them crippled. They want them defenseless. Magdalena McRuby, Amnesty International's deputy director for the Middle East and North Africa, stated that deaths resulting from Israel's use of live ammunition against unarmed protesters must be investigated as possible unlawful killings. And since when? Oh, they investigate, but since when do they ever do anything about it? She also went on to say that for the past 2 weeks, the world has watched in horror as Israeli forces unleashed excessive, deadly force against protesters, including children, who merely demand an end to Israel's brutal policies towards Gaza and a life of dignity, for crying out loud. And Israel continued to crack down on the protests. Whoops, I forgot to turn my air conditioner off. Sorry about that, folks. Makes noise, you know. Anyway, Israel continued to crack down on protests on Friday, despite a warning from the chief prosecutor of the International Criminal Court that Israeli leaders could face, and they won't, by the way, but they could face, trial for the killings of unarmed Palestinian protesters in Gaza. As The Hague continues its preliminary examination into these alleged crimes committed in the West Bank and the Gaza Strip, IDF Online helpfully makes sure we all know that the chief of staff was present today while the soldiers opened fire on unarmed protesters posing no threat to life. These journalists and 14 medics were among those newly injured, according to the health ministry. And journalist Ahmed Mohammed Abu Hussein, 30, was reported in critical condition after being shot in the stomach in northern Gaza. He was wearing a protective helmet marked TV and a flak jacket marked with the word press when he was shot. The most moral army in the world. We'll be back in 3.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website, by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Alright, folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, talking about the most moral army in the world, according to Benjamin Netanyahu and Biedelboken there. Yes, journalists, and by the way, I want to make their names known. Journalist Ahmed Abu Hussein, as I mentioned, reported in critical condition after being shot by Israeli snipers in the chest during the Gaza marches. Nur Odeh, another journalist, was wounded in Khan Yunis. Israeli snipers fatally wounded cameraman Yasser Murtaza during last Friday's Great March of Return protests, spurring worldwide condemnations. Get this, folks. Two journalists, two snipers, same spot. Israeli snipers have a favorite spot to target the Palestinian journalists, the area the press vest does not cover. The press vest does not cover. Oh, I see. They have a favorite spot to target them. The spot where the bulletproof vest or the vest that they wear doesn't cover. Uh-huh. Let's see. Medics at a field clinic east of Khan Yunis in southern Gaza were forced to evacuate after the tent was hit by a tear gas on Friday. Oh, my God. Tear gas. Isn't that a chemical weapon? My. Looks like Israel and their moral army can get away with whatever they want. But accuse Assad with no proof of gassing his own people, which, by the way, we know he did not, and we launch $1,400,000 worth of missiles on the top of Damascus or wherever. What's wrong with this equation, folks? Where does the balance lie? And today, don't forget, it's tax day. Put that money in there to pay the interest on the money that's being borrowed to bomb these innocent people, because we're sending how much aid, did Steve Elkins say yesterday? $38 billion of taxpayer money, or money borrowed, as John Statler would say. It doesn't matter. We're covering the interest on it in our tax dollars. Oh. The footage from Gaza seemingly shows tear gas interrupting the work of medical teams in Khan Yunis and accusations that they were targeted. A journalist working with us in Gaza also reports being targeted with tear gas. Yes. Tear gas, chemical weapon. Paramedic Ashraf Wawi was shot in the knee. shot in the knee. They aim for the knees and elbows, folks. While on duty in Rafah, southern Gaza, the Palestinian Red Crescent Society reported, Ashraf Wawi, 38 years old, who was shot in the knee at noon today while on duty. And a video, by the way, these videos are starting to be posted on the internet, folks. Take a look. Search engine them. A video shows injured paramedics being transferred to the hospital in central Gaza. The charity Medical Aid for Palestinians warned of burnout and emotional exhaustion among Gaza's medical workforce last Friday, and even before Israel's violent response to the protests. Health workers in Gaza were under huge strain due to the cumulative effects of a decade of blockades, which has degraded the health of the Palestinians and other essential services, as well as the economy and the living conditions, in addition to previous mass casualty events. The most moral army in the world. And now, they are once again experiencing the most difficult conditions, working long hours in tense situations and assisting casualties with often horrifying and life-changing injuries. And Gaza's health ministry stated last Friday that there was a shortage of specialized medical professionals, particularly surgeons and anesthesiologists and forensic pathologists. And that's according to the United Nations Office of the Coordination of the Humanitarian Affairs. And where does the UN come into this? What are they doing about it? Nothing. Because every time there's a resolution filed, the United States of America, the ally of the most moral army in the world, vetoes it. April 12th, Gaza's sole power plant was forced to shut down after being unable to replenish its fuel reserves, triggering outages lasting 20 hours a day for up to 18 hours previously. That was put out by OCHA. And by the way, the UN, under the coordination of OCHA, continues to provide a number of critical health facilities in the Gaza Strip, including public hospitals with emergency fuel to run backup generators. Here's a picture of the Palestinians. They're preparing to set fire to an Israeli flag. And they, conveniently, on that Israeli flag, there's images of both the Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman and guess who? No, it's not Benjamin Netanyahu. It's our president, Donald Trump. Because Donald himself turns a blind eye to this. You never hear him mention a peep. It's crickets on the mainstream news about this, folks. OCHA stated last Wednesday that public hospitals in Gaza are in need of replenishment of 59 essential drugs and 128 types of medical disposables. And on Friday, a group of former Israeli army snipers joined the chorus of condemnation of the killing of unarmed demonstrators in Gaza, instructing the snipers to shoot to kill unarmed demonstrators, demonstrators who pose no danger to human life and is another product of the occupation and military rule over millions of Palestinian people, as well as of our country's callous leadership and derailed moral path, the five former soldiers stated in a letter published by The Guardian. In the Israeli society today, signing a letter like this might carry a cost, but I think A. Graviahu and his friends should reconsider the phrasing they choose. The victims are not the Israeli snipers, but the unarmed Palestinian protesters that they shot. And the United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres on Friday repeated his call for an independent and transparent investigation into casualties in Gaza. Well, when are they going to get there? Yeah, the Russians asked that they bring the Office of, the Prevention of Chemical Weapons in to inspect. And before they even were able to get in there, the United States government bombed it. Why? They didn't want any evidence because there was no evidence, and they knew it. Yes, Israel and the United States just goose-stepping along, arm in arm, huh? Forgetting all about the 1967 attack on the USS Liberty. They're our buddies. They're our good buddies. The United States of America has no idea that the Israeli government, the Zionists that they are, would stab them in the back in a New York minute. Meanwhile, the Palestinian Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions National Committee is calling for a two-way arms embargo as the most effective response to Israel's ongoing massacre. The group stated on Thursday that this means working to end all weapon sales and purchases to and from Israel and ending military or police partnerships with the Israeli state. Good luck with that. Oh, my God. In a legal analysis, published on Friday, the Israeli human rights group B'Tselem put the army's open fire regulations being used on the Gaza's boundary into a long history of Israeli-invoked hypothetical worst-case scenarios or exceptions in international law. Yeah, Israel. They get the only exception in international law, along with the United States, because the United States is on the UN Security Council. The United States goes ahead and picks and chooses where they want to bomb. They tip off Vladimir Putin, okay, to the bombing. And by the way, what Fred in Michigan called yesterday, asked me to report on this. I wrote it down here. What's the name of it? I can't get into it right now, but I will get to it hopefully today, Fred. So hang with me. Anyway, enough of that one. This just goes on and on and on and on and on. So that's that. Or if that's not enough, how about this? Israel denounced for smear campaign against Palestinian journalists it killed in Gaza. Senior Israeli officials declined on Thursday to offer any proof to substantiate their coordinated attack on the reputation of Yasser Murtaza, the Palestinian photojournalist who was shot and killed by an Israeli sniper last week while documenting protests in Gaza. Israel has struggled for days to explain the killing of Murtaza, who was wearing a flak jacket clearly marked with the word press when he was shot last Friday. And after his funeral on Saturday, a spokesperson for the Israeli Defense Forces, you know those guys who wear diapers, and insisted that Israeli snipers had not targeted Murtaza or the five other Palestinian journalists who were injured by live fire. But later on Saturday, though, folks, Israel's Defense Minister Avigdor Lieberman suggested that Murtaza might have been killed because he was flying a drone over Israeli forces during the protests. However, video recorded moments before the shooting showed that Murtaza had been using a handheld stabilizer device to record images of the protesters, not a drone. So, if Murtaza was not a target, however, his killing seemed to undermine claims by Israeli military that its snipers had only fired live ammunition at instigators among the crowds of the protesters in Gaza in a precise, measured way. And images of the photographer taken moments before he was shot, showed that his final frames were of protesters separated from Israeli forces by a thick wall of black smoke generated by burning fires. So these images suggest that Israeli forces might have been firing without precise aim through a smokescreen in the general direction of protesters and journalists. And unlike some of the other unarmed Gazans killed during the recent wave of protests who had militant backgrounds, Murtaza was a well-known photographer and a camera person who had worked for the international news organizations, aid groups, and the Chinese artist Al Waiwi. And just last month, Murtaza had even been vetted and cleared by the State Department to receive a USAID grant of $11,700 to purchase equipment for his company, AIN Media. And as the Congressional Research Service notes, USAID's West Bank and Gaza program is subject to a specialized vetting process to ensure that funds are not diverted to Hamas or other organizations classified as terrorist groups by the United States government. Murtaza was described by the colleagues in Gaza as a dedicated professional with no known political affiliation or ties to Hamas, which, by the way, that's a loose fit because, you know, Israel has accused Ken O'Keefe of being tied to Hamas. Give me a break. And, of course, the United States laps up everything, all of the excrement that Israel throws at them, and they love it. Yeah, no known political affiliation or ties to Hamas, the militant group that rules a Palestinian enclave. And in 2015, the Palestinian Journalist Syndicate even made a public complaint on his behalf when Murtaza and three colleagues were detained and beaten by Hamas militants for recording the clearing of rubble in Gaza City that had been destroyed by Israeli bombing the year before. And 4 days after his killing, Israel Defense Minister offered a completely new rationale, Avigdor Lieberman. In response to a question about the killing at a news conference, Lieberman claimed, without citing any evidence, does that ring a bell, folks? Huh? We're both goose-tipping along with our partners over there, and neither of us are giving anybody any evidence of anything. We don't have to anymore, because we are the United States and Israel, and you're not. That's their attitude, by the way. Lieberman claimed without citing any evidence that Murtaza had been a member of Hamas. Lieberman's unsubstantiated claim was quickly shared on the social networks by Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Beetle Bailey's spokespeople, Offer Gentleman, and David Keyes, and then repeated as a fact by senior diplomats. You see how these people work, folks? Oh, my God. Oh. Interestingly enough, that accusation that he was flying a drone, they illustrated this claim because Murtaza, on his own Facebook cover photo, showed him with a camera drone that he took such joy in using to photograph the natural beauty of Gaza. This was a Facebook photograph that was taken, so they used that to justify his killing. Say, well, he's using a drone, and got it on Facebook there. None of the Israeli officials responded to the request from news organizations, including The Intercept, to present any evidence to back their claims. But then, what a surprise. Neither do we. We just fire missiles in there and let Raytheon stock go up. That's us, folks. We're the United States, and you're not. God. Yeah, The Intercept. No evidence to back their claims, which contrasts sharply with what was previously known about the photographer. And to make matters more confusing still, the same morning the allegation first surfaced that Murtaza had been a secret Hamas militant, the spokesperson for the Israeli Defense Forces, the ones wearing the diapers, folks, told Britain's Daily Telegraph, "We're not aware of any such information." Lie. Liar, liar, pants on fire. In an email to The Intercept, Lieberman kept a statement in which he ignored questions about the evidence and simply reiterated his claim. "Regarding the photographer, I said the photographer, as you ask, is a terrorist with prior association with the military arm of Hamas, without any evidence whatsoever." But they stick to it, folks. Tell a lie often enough, right? Yes. I hope those same journalists and media outlets that were so outraged and spoke about this poor journalist just faithfully doing his job pushes the correct facts, because the correct facts are lies. Up is down, right is left. You get it. You get the idea. I guess this. Oh, I get so upset, folks. As the Telegraph correspondent Rav Sanchez observed on Twitter, Israel's defense ministry and prime minister's office are trying to get reporters to republish their claims, presented without evidence, of course, that Yasser Murtaza was a Hamas member. But they still won't answer the most basic question. Did the IDF kill him deliberately? Song and dance and shuck and jive and da-da-da-da-da. Yeah. But we've learned well from them, folks, because we do the same thing now. And after multiple requests for comments that went unanswered, Lieutenant Colonel Jonathan Conricus, a spokesperson for the Israeli Defense Diaper-Wearing Force, contacted The Intercept after this post was originally published to say that the Army now agrees with their boss, the Defense Minister, Avigdor Lieber-Diaperman. That's a new one. They now agree with their boss without any evidence whatsoever to say that the Army now agrees with their boss, the defense minister, and said unspecified intelligence showed that the photographer was a member of Hamas. Unspecified intelligence. Let's play with words for a while. The spokesperson refused to say if the Army's position on whether or not Murtaza was intentionally targeted had changed. And they say, well, we're still looking into how he was killed, the spokesman said. We may release intelligence in the future, as soon as we can doctor it up, I might add. Oh, if I didn't laugh, I'd cry, folks. Murtaza's brother, Murasim, accused the Israeli defense minister of lying. No way. Not Avigdor Lieberman. He wouldn't lie. Oh, my God. He spreads lies to get himself out of the impasse, he told the Associated Press. Yasser was filming the protest with simple cameras to show how they are peaceful. And last week, Murtaza had agreed to make a documentary for the Norwegian Refugee Council about the hardship faced by the majority of Gaza's 2 million residents who are refugees, displaced from their homes inside what is now Israel by violence before and after the founding of the Jewish state in 1948. 65% of them, folks, okay, because their homes were bulldozed over and their land was stolen. Jan Egeland, a former diplomat who helped broker the 1993 Oslo Peace Accord and now leads the NRC, tried to push back against the Israel allegations on Twitter. He denounced the attack on the dead man's reputation in a telephone interview with The Intercept as a smear campaign. Oh, my God. Okay, enough of this one. Let's get back to my my narrative here. Let's see. Okay. Well, folks, if that isn't enough, you know, your moral Your moral army, BB, is about as moral as Joseph Stalin and Mao Zedong would be at a political protest. Oh, my God. All right, let's go to the next one. Jeez. Oh, there's another one. Thanks to Pete in California for this. Palestinians losing legs as Israel punishes them by denying them medical care, as I said before. They shoot them in the leg, all right, then they don't let them go to the hospital, so they have to amputate their leg. Yes, two Palestinians. Their legs were amputated a week ago, last Wednesday, after Israel refused to allow them to leave the blockaded Gaza Strip for treatment. How humanitarian. The most moral army in the world. Wearing their Pampers diapers. Human rights groups had appealed to the Israeli authorities to allow for the transfer of Yusif Karnaz, age 20, and Mohammed Al-Ajouri, age 17, to a hospital in the occupied West Bank for surgery that would save their limbs. The youths were shot during the launch of the Great March of Return protests along the Gaza-Israeli border on the 30th of March. But COGAT, the bureaucratic arm of Israel's military operation that postures as a humanitarian body, denied their request. A humanitarian body denying their request goes right along with that most moral army in the world. We'll be right back. Stick around.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
folks. We're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host. Yeah, we're talking about humanitarians. We're talking about the most moral army in the world, according to Beetlebook in there. But interestingly enough, the bureaucratic arm of Israel's military occupation said that postures, folks, as a humanitarian body, denied the request for permission to travel for specialized surgery unavailable in Gaza. And Israel admitted that it refused that request as a form of punishment for protesting. Well, let me get this straight. They're punishing these two for protesting against homes that Israel stole from them and kicked them off their own land into the refugee status, into a basic military-guarded prison camp in Gaza. And they're being punished by losing their limbs, their legs. Okay?
How dare you protest against us? We're Israel and you're not.
Same attitude as our government. We're the United States, and you're not. So we're just going to throw those Raytheon missiles into wherever we want to throw them. And how dare you? Don't you even think about retaliating, because we're the United States, and you're not. Oh, my God, folks. This, you know, a lot of this audience is semi-close to my age, you know, maybe older, some younger. How about you? I remember a day when I was proud to be an American. I remember a day when I could walk down the street when I was a little kid and wave at a cop going by and he'd wave back. I remember a day when our neighbors were nice to each other. How about you? What have we become? On the surface, the petitioner's condition ostensibly fulfills the medical criterion for receiving a permit, but those authorized officials decided not to grant the request. The state said in response to a court petition submitted on behalf of the injured youth, the Israeli Daily Haaretz reported. The main consideration for the refusal, and the fact that they wanted those kids to get their legs cut off, stems from the fact that their medical condition is a function of their participation in the disturbances, the state added. Again, going back to, how dare you? We're Israel and you're not. So if you want to protest the fact that we're going to beat you up, throw you off your land, bulldoze your home, and build a settlement on it, we're going to cut off your legs. We're going to shoot you in the knee and then allow them to be amputated, because you're not supposed to protest it. You're supposed to just give us your home and say, yes, sir, and goodbye. Where's the logic here, folks? This is beyond belief, you know? And the United States is part and parcel to it. They're arm in arm with them, okay? They would rather have the U.S. Liberty go to the bottom of the ocean and have all those guys on that ship dead than embarrass their partner, Israel. This is outrageous. The willful act of denying urgent medical care in these circumstances may constitute cruel, inhuman, and degrading treatment. No, you think? And or torture under the UN Convention Against Torture, ratified by Israel, stated Adala, which petitioned the Israeli government on behalf of the youth, along with the Gaza-based Al-Mazan Center for Human Rights. The Palestinian campaign for the academic and cultural boycott of Israel highlighted the case of the two youths whose legs were amputated in its efforts to relocate part of the prestigious Giro d'Italia cycling race from Jerusalem. Dear cyclists, two young Palestinians from Gaza had legs amputated because Israel denied travel permits to the West Bank hospital after the Israeli soldiers shot them during peaceful protests just kilometers from the Giro 101 route. A warning to the cyclists. Second hour coming up. Phone lines are open. 800-313-9443. Be right back.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s communities where the world's dominant force are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
This is RBC.